Chapter 5. The Pit. One hot summer afternoon, Braddock Washington decided that John should take a tour of the castle grounds, so he, John, and Percy set off into the hot sun. John watched Braddock Washington as he walked along, explaining this and that. He was about 40, with a proud, empty-looking face, intelligent eyes, and a strong build, but he already had white hair. He smelt of horses, only the best horses, of course, and he carried a plain walking stick of gray wood with a single large jewel for a grip. "The slave's residence is there." He pointed his walking stick at a group of graceful and stylish buildings that ran beautifully along the side of the mountain. "When I was young, I went through a period of ridiculous idealism that wasted a lot of my time. During that time, the slaves lived in total comfort. For instance, I put a tile bath in every one of their rooms." "I suppose," ventured John with a forced laugh, "that they use the baths to keep cool in. Mr. Schnitzer Murphy told me that once he..."
"The opinions of Mr. Schnitzer Murphy don't matter to anyone, I don't think,"
interrupted Braddock Washington coldly. "My slaves did not keep coal in their baths. They had orders to bathe every day, and they did. If they hadn't, I would have punished them very harshly. I stopped the baths for a totally different reason. Several of them caught cold and died. Water is not good for certain races, except as a drink." John laughed and then changed his mind and decided to nod his head seriously in agreement. Braddock Washington made him uncomfortable. "All these servants are descendants of the ones my father brought north with him. There are about 250 now. You notice that they've lived so long apart from the world that their original way of speaking English has practically become a different language which we cannot understand. We only teach a few of them to speak English, my assistant and two or three of the house helpers. This is the golf course," he continued as they strolled along. "It's all a smooth short grass. You'll notice that unlike a regular course, there are no lakes, trees, or sand patches to block the ball's progress."
He smiled pleasantly at John.
"Are there many men in the cage, Father?" asked Percy suddenly. Braddock Washington was so upset that he tripped and shouted a curse. "There is one less prisoner than there should be," he muttered darkly, and then added after a moment, "We've had difficulties." "Mother was telling me," said Percy, "about the escape of that Italian teacher."
"A terrible error," said Braddock Washington angrily. "But, of course, there's a good chance that we may have got him. Perhaps he fell somewhere in the woods or fell over a cliff. And then there's always the possibility that if he did get away, his story wouldn't be believed. Nevertheless, I've had 24 men looking for him in different towns around here."
"And no luck?"
"Some. 14 of them reported to my agent that they'd each killed a man who met that description. But of course they were probably only trying to get the reward."
He stopped speaking. They had come to a large hole in the earth about the size of his bedroom in the castle, which was covered by strong iron bars. Braddock Washington called John over to him and pointed his walking stick down through the bars. John stepped to the edge and gazed down. Immediately, a wild group of voices from below started yelling at him.
"Come on down to hell!
Hello, kid, how's the air up there?
Hey, throw us a rope!
Got any old sandwiches or a couple of pieces of pie for me to eat?
Say, kid, if you'll push down that guy you're with, we'll show you how to make someone magically disappear.
Punch him for me, will you?"
It was too dark to see clearly into the pit, but John could tell from the rough and energetic joking that there must be tough and adventurous men below. Then Mr. Washington put out his stick and touched a button in the grass, and the scene below was lit up.
"These are some adventurous men who had the bad luck to discover my castle," he remarked.
Below them, a large hole in the earth, shaped like the inside of a bowl, was now lit up. The sides were apparently made of polished glass, and there were about 24 men wearing airplane pilot's clothes on the flat surface at the bottom of the pit. The faces which looked up at John were covered with anger, with misery, or with dark humor, and were covered by long beards,
but with the exception of a few who were obviously suffering mentally from being locked up, they seemed to be a well-fed, healthy lot.
Braddock Washington walked up to the edge of the pit and looked down.
"Well, how are you, boys?"
he inquired happily. A shout of hate rose up into the sunny air from the throats of all the prisoners, except a few who were too depressed to speak.
Braddock Washington was not at all affected by it, however. When the shout's last echo had died away, he spoke again.
"Have you thought up a way out of your difficulty?"
From here and there among them, remarks floated up.
"We decided to stay here for love. Bring us up there and we'll find ourselves a way."
Braddock Washington waited until they were again quiet. Then he said,
"I've told you the situation. I don't want you here. I wish I'd never seen you. Your own curiosity got you here, and any time that you can think of a way out which protects me and my interests, I'll be glad to consider it. But so long as you focus your efforts on digging tunnels, yes, I know about the new one you've started, you won't get very far. This isn't as hard on you as you make it seem, with all your crying for your loved ones at home. If you were the type who worried much about the loved ones at home, you'd never have taken up flying planes."
A tall man moved apart from the others and held up his hand to call Washington's attention to what he was about to say.
"Let me ask you a few questions," he cried. "You pretend to be a fair-minded man." "How ridiculous! How could a man in my position even think about being fair-minded toward you? It's like asking a man who hasn't had his dinner to be fair-minded toward a piece of steak."
Hearing this harsh statement, the 24 men looked depressed. But the tall man continued.
"All right," he cried. "We've argued this out before. You're not a kind man, and you're not fair-minded, but you're human. At least you say you are, and you ought to be able to put yourself in our place for long enough to think how...
"How what?" asked Washington coldly.
"How unnecessary..."
"It's not unnecessary to me."
"Well, how cruel..."
"We've covered that. Cruelty doesn't exist when I am fighting for my survival. You've been soldiers. You know that. Try again."
"Well, then, how stupid?"
"There," said Washington. "I will admit that it's stupid. But try to think of an alternative. I've offered to have all or any of you executed without pain. I've offered to have your wives, girlfriends, children, and mothers kidnapped and brought out here. I'll make your place down there bigger and feed and clothe you for the rest of your lives. If there was some method of making you permanently lose your memory, I'd have all of you operated on and released immediately. But I can't think of any other ideas."
"How about trusting us not to tell on you?" cried someone.
"You aren't making that suggestion seriously," said Washington, his face showing scorn. "I did take one man out of the hole to teach my daughter Italian. Last week, he got away."
A wild yell of happiness went up suddenly from 24 throats, and there was a mad celebration at the bottom of the hole. The prisoners danced, cheered, sang, and wrestled with each other in a sudden fit of joy. They even ran up the glass sides of the bowl as far as they could and slid back down on their bottoms. The tall man started a song in which they all joined.
"Oh, we'll hang the king on a sour apple tree."
Braddock Washington sat in silence until the song was over.
"You see," he remarked, when he could gain their attention, "I don't hate you. I like to see you enjoying yourselves. That's why I didn't tell you the whole story at once. That man, what was his name? Criticello, was shot by some of my agents."
The joyful celebration stopped immediately.
"Nevertheless," cried Washington with a touch of anger, "he tried to run away. Do you expect me to take chances with any of you after an experience like that?"
Again, the shouts went up.
"Sure."
"Would your daughter like to learn Chinese?"
"Hey, I can speak Italian. My mother was from Italy."
"Maybe she'd like to learn to speak New York English."
"I know some Irish songs, and I can play the guitar."
Mr. Washington reached forward suddenly with his stick and pushed the button in the grass so that the lights below went out instantly.
All that was left was the dark behind the iron bars.
"Hey," called a single voice from below. "Are you going away without saying goodbye?"
But Mr. Washington, followed by the two boys, was already strolling on toward the ninth hole of the golf course, as if the pit and the prisoners did not exist.